The first time, I caught her with the long matches we used for the outdoor barbecue, striking them on the lampshade. And again, a few days later, an odd bulge in her sweater gave her away, smuggling in starter fluid she'd borrowed from the neighbor across the street. I locked up all the matchbooks and the gas igniter and the danger flammables in the house. I put them in the combination lockbox Brad kept under the bed. It made me feel safer, but she didn't stop trying. Not even a day later, she turned up the thermostat to max and stood on a milk crate outside the living room window, watching and waiting for the couch to combust. I tried to talk to Brad about it before his Sunday morning golf game. He didn't think it was much of anything to worry about. "Kids," he said, shrugging. "I did a lot worse things when I was a kid." He was proud and grinning at whatever teenage stupidity he was reminiscing about. Probably fireworks. It was always fireworks with boys. My cousin Benjamin's friend Doug got his pinky finger blown off by a cherry bomb the summer I turned 14. I never understood how boys were always so satisfied that they'd survived something stupid. You never heard about a girl's finger getting blown off like that. "Can we have a family meeting about it later?" I said. "She listens to you."
"Sure,"
he said, putting his golf cap on. But we never had that family meeting. We never had any family meetings at all, come to think of it. She caught me off guard the next time. She'd waited long enough, so I thought I'd won. I blame myself. I should have figured it out right away when I saw the bunched up newspapers stuffed under the couch. I thought it was imaginative play. I did a little happy clap when I saw her industriously wad up the Sunday funnies, one page at a time, and shove them under as far as her thin arm would reach. She was up to her shoulder, and wads of paper spilled out from under the sides of the couch.
"Wonderful," I said, not realizing it was kindling. "Are you decorating? What are you making?"
Zana tilted her ear down to her shoulder and smiled, like she'd been caught practicing kissing in the mirror.
"No,"
she said. Her hands were streaked black with newspaper ink. I put it together a few minutes later when I was taking out the trash. I ran back in to find she'd stuck a wooden chopstick in the toaster and was watching the smoke curl up out of it, waiting for it to catch. Well, that was the end of toast in the house. And it was when I decided to call Ronnie over.